No bullshit news.
No bullshit.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
Cut. What is that, dude?
We can't say happy holidays.
This litany. Happy holidays. You didn't say Hanukkah.
Trying to be politically correct. But we're not politically correct. Mm. No bullshit.
They poured the drinks high here. Bob and I decided to just come to our local. Wish y'all a happy new year. Give you the, I'm going to be honest. I don't fucking feel like working over New Year's week, right?
Right.
So,
right.
I know we've only done 15, 16 shows, but we're doing the best of. The best of the last quarter of 2018.
Last for 4 months.
That's what a quarter generally means.
Yeah.
No, that would be 3 months.
A quarter would be 3 months.
Math is everything.
So, see, we did more than a quarter. We're on 4 months.
We're perfect for government.
Right. Close enough for government work.
Yeah, it's close enough. What a fraud.
Yeah.
That's, if there's one, look, this is called no bullshit news for a reason, dude. Because a gigantic fraud is being perpetrated on the American public. And the only one that seems to understand it is the American public. And nobody's reflecting what they're seeing, feeling, or being subjected to.
Well, no one's demanding any change or has any outrage about it, what they see.
You mean the public doesn't?
Yeah.
The public does.
Where's the outrage at the bullshit,
dude,
fake news?
It was such outrage, we got fucking Trump.
Well,
okay, there's outrage.
That's true.
And you're on a street.
I was thinking of yellow vests in France burning shit up.
Mm. I'm not for burning shit up.
No. Well, it doesn't accomplish anything.
All that does is scare a weasel. He throws you a few fucking crumbs, right? Once everybody calms down, he's back in the smoke-filled room cutting deals that aren't good for your family.
Right. You know? Well, and it gives the man the excuse to beat your head because you're burning shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then you have martial law.
Yeah.
And the bread truck and the beer truck don't show up.
And now you got real problems.
And then you got real problems. And we do have real problems. But anyway, I mean, I don't want to bum everybody out because
It's the new year.
I want to remind everybody, in the new year, take control of your life and your sensibilities and focus. That you don't need the bullshit news to spoon feed you dumb shit. Because you start to believe it.
Boy, is that true.
Isn't it?
It is.
Here, look at that.
And we're no bullshit news.
Dude, how many fingers is this whiskey?
That's 3.5 fingers.
And I already had it 2 sips. This joint, which we're not going to tell you, is a great joint.
They know how to pour a drink.
Mm-hmm. That's why we call them professionals. So anyway, let's just get in and let it roll.
So we got a show coming up.
Well, best of. It starts out with, who do we got? We got Tucker Carlson to start. And then little Michigan politics. We've got Bill Schuette, who ran the failed campaign for governor. Dana Nessel, who ran a successful campaign for attorney general.
Kinda.
Dodged the fuck out of us.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody what you're getting here. And, you know,
we're a stand-up person.
Garland Gilchrist, who is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor-elect.
Her,
number two.
Number two.
And his scuzzy little house.
And kind of a slumlord.
And she dodged this too, because she's, you know, afraid of real questions. But,
But you guys will all hear it.
But, you know, we got Tucker, you know, friend of the show. I'm going to say that. Well, he's in the middle of free fall.
He has got a free fall going on right now. Did you see all that today was advertisers were bailing on him?
Because
he had said that immigrants make this country poorer and dirtier.
Dirtier, I think, is the pejorative word, isn't it? Because,
it's more of a pejorative than poor. Poor kind of sucks, too.
Well, again, I mean, if you be honest, like, the poorest, the people, you know, that aren't educated, studies show end up costing the country. Good people, no doubt, right? Hard laborers, no doubt.
Sure.
Family people, no doubt. But in the end, what you get and what you give, studies show that it's a negative return on the public's coffer. When you call people dirty,
well,
what does that mean?
That's just racist.
Well, that's what some people say.
Be.
He's saying no, but
right.
You know, and then when
but a lot of his mainstream advertisers are saying yes because they don't have associated. They're not having it.
Just a few weeks ago, when we had him on the show,
He didn't say
the Antifa people were beating on his door and spray painting his driveway.
Right, and you know, he was very, you know, you could relate to that, that that was a situation that, that, you know, leave his family alone.
Yeah,
and he was very reasonable, and he didn't say anything like that to us in our show.
Well, my point is, you walked away from the show.
I was walked away from the show having a different opinion.
Appreciating the guy a little bit. Like, you thought, listening to him in at length, when he's actually also taking a question.
Right.
He's more...
Well, and, you know, he wasn't...
He's more middle of the road than you thought.
He wasn't performing, to me, it seemed like, because, you know, I'm sure that there's a certain amount of performance he does on his show.
It's called a show.
It's called a show.
And you work in the show.
Right.
You work in the shit show, dude.
You know, but he was on our show, so he didn't, maybe he didn't feel like he had to perform to the level. But I walked away from our show thinking a different, I had a completely different opinion about Tucker Carlson. I was like, oh, he's reasonable. Oh, he said, you know.
And you know what's interesting? Doing this show, I didn't know you were so liberal. And I don't mean that as a put down. I didn't, you know, I got you as a... kind of a centrist, but you're not.
I'm progressive.
Progressive. Isn't that a fucking soup?
Well, you know.
I'm progressive too.
Progressive is a soup.
You don't get to just take the title progressive.
I'm the progressive chicken and noodle.
You know, the Bolsheviks thought they were progressing too.
Sure.
I said that like a Canadian. Progressing.
I find myself taking positions where it agrees with my sensibilities. Sometimes it's to the right, sometimes that's to the left, sometimes it's right in the middle, sometimes it's checking out. I don't know.
So I just thought all people do that.
Well, and I don't think they do.
Okay.
I think there are some people that only this way, only that way.
Tucker around, let people, you know, this is just a little snippet.
Yeah.
So what you're going to get here now is Tucker Carlson and
welcome to the best of.
A little bit of Bill Schuette, Nestle, Gilchrist, fix the damn house. And let's play this segment. We'll come on back.
The reason is pretty simple. The middle class is dying. And that's why Trump got elected. I mean, there were all kinds of options on the Republican side. They had a perfect candidate for you. He was Jeb Bush. I mean, he was like genetically engineered to be the perfect Republican candidate. And Republicans said no. So, I mean, the truth is this election was a bigger deal than any of us realized. And that had nothing to do with Trump. Trump was just a vessel for the frustration of a country that outside a few coastal zip codes is dying and nobody is acknowledging it. I mean, I know you've been saying this for years. You've written books on it. You've been making as much noise as one man can about this because you live there. But most people where I live and in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and the Loop and Chicago, I mean, there's no sense of any of that until you have an election like 2016 where they elect this orange guy and you're thinking, why would they do that? And, of course, you know, if you take 20 minutes and travel around the country you're born in, you understand why.
Because, you know, it gets boiled down to this, Tucker, because there's a great white menace, right? Because white people – look, let me put it to you this way. Whatever you think of Trump, whatever you think of his policies, the effectiveness of them rolling into the future, when he renegotiated NAFTA and we have the USMCA, $16 an hour for, you know, 45% of you know, auto factory work, and 75% of the components have to be made in North America. Not a single reporter locally, nationally, or internationally bothered to come here to Macomb County to ask auto workers getting off the third shift at 9 in the morning on Thursday with their paychecks at the bar what they thought of it. So when they maybe go for Trump again because they see that he's at least acknowledged their financial situation, it won't be presented that way. It'll be presented as they're misogynistic, racist people. Where is the fucking media who promised us, once they got caught with their pants down, that we will do a better job of finding America and representing them?
Well, that's really the question. And they got completely sidetracked and completely mesmerized by Trump. They felt personally threatened by him, for legitimate reasons and illegitimate reasons, but they sort of decided day one everything was about him, and they missed the story, which is still ongoing, which is the total realignment of our political system, complete realignment of it, and the total change in our economy. and in our society itself. Like, everything is different. We're undergoing this massive revolution in the way money is made and distributed. A small number of people are getting richer. Everyone else is languishing. I mean, that's a good, whatever you think of it, maybe you're for it, maybe you're against it, it's a great story. Nobody's covering that. And I guess what I, look, I'm so bored at this stage. At first I was outraged when, you know, you'd say something to people like, you're a white supremacist. And I would always think, because I'm so literal, I think, well, actually I'm not. I mean, if, you know, no one around is talking to myself. I don't feel that way at all. That's not actually how I feel. I've never felt that way. I don't even see the world really in racial terms. I'm from Southern California. I'm 50. You know, I just didn't grow up in that world. It's not how I think, A. And then B, I'd think, well, that's so outrageous. How dare you say that about me? And now I think, I don't even care. You don't mean it. It's just dogs barking. It's children yelling. It doesn't mean anything. What bugs me about it is all the race and gender and sexuality talk. It's a distraction from the actual conversation, which is about economics. And no one wants to have it. And by the way, I would say to some extent that's intentional. This is a distraction. This is a diversion planted in our path to get us off the scent of the real story, which is who's getting rich and who's not. That's the real story.
But remember, dude, I mean, you know the totem of American life, right? Blacks are at the bottom, then the working class whites are next in the trailer park, and then we move our way up. So there is a race component in the fact that whenever things turn to shit, black people tend to feel it first.
Oh, for sure.
Why not acknowledge that? Why not acknowledge that and get some people off your ass and off your doorstep?
Well, because that's not true, for one thing, right now. I mean, there are many ways to measure this. I mean, that always has been true, for sure. And there are a lot of the biggest sins America ever committed were racial sins. I couldn't agree more. I'm not trying to pretend that race and racism haven't played a role and don't play a role in America. Of course,
nor am I saying that you're doing that, just to be clear.
But what I am saying is, if you're going to look at the numbers, which is, you know, it doesn't tell you the whole story, but it's a good place to start. There's only one group in America whose life expectancy is shrinking, okay? And it's actually working class whites without high school degrees. Like, they're actually dying younger in huge numbers, and that's never happened before in American history. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story, of course, but it tells you that it's a little bit more complicated just than all the suffering is done by one racial group.
There's you know what that says? We're starting to see an evening out, and that's not the direction we want to go. What we want is life expectancy for blacks to increase, not for whites to decrease. That's what's going on, and that's what people are angry about, and black people are really angry. I look at Trump as like the anti-Republicans. Even my mom jettisoned Bush because he's a bullshit, fake liar. That's what she calls him.
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
What you talking about?
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
No bullshit!
Fix the damn house.
Garland Gilchrist II shouldn't fix the damn house. He should give it back to the city. Because if you can't find the money as a private citizen making $137,000 a year to fix the joint up, how is it going to look when you find the money once you're lieutenant governor making just $111,000 a year? Shit. But let's back up a minute.
Get the fuck out of the way!
Gilchrist bought a dilapidated 8-unit apartment from the Detroit Land Bank 2 years ago in the north end of Detroit that is red hot with real estate speculators. Gilchrist had 6 months to fix it up by city rules, but didn't. Somehow, he was allowed to keep the building and was never cited for blight. And now he wants to be your lieutenant governor. I did the story last week, and the local media went nuts.
We caught up with the Democratic Lieutenant Governor hopeful as he walked in to speak at a Detroit church. And Garland Gilchrist II did what he could to dodge our request.
Can I talk to you after things? We would like to ask you some questions about why you didn't pay the taxes, let the house go.
Gilchrist acted like he was talking on a cell phone. Then he rolled up the car window, and then his driver drove away. Later, he released a wooden video on Twitter. And this guy wants to be your leader.
You know, we've hit some bumps along the road of the construction project. You know, we made some honest oversights. And that's all fixed now.
Shit. Even Gretchen Whitmer, the woman who picked him to be her running mate on the Democratic ticket, told local radio host Stephen Henderson that something smelled fishy.
Is he getting preferential treatment? Did he get some preferential treatment in the sense that the land bank did not come in and repossess that property from him? I think that's the concern that, that lurks in the back of this, this issue.
I think some of the safety valves failed. And I can't, you know, opine as to what it was that happened, but it does appear that, you know, some of the deadlines should have been enforced and met, and I don't know how or where that
fell. You don't?
Doesn't sound like she does.
It's important to say that Gilchrist bought the building 2 years ago when he worked for Mayor Mike Duggan as a hotshot techie guy. He bought it at a land bank auction for $13,500 using a 50% employee discount. It's also important to say the mayor's office and the land bank are the subjects of a federal corruption probe. Gilchrist is not believed to be part of that probe, but it's not a good look if you're asking for the second highest chair in Michigan.
Did your brother get a ticket for the porch being blighted?
Mm-hmm.
He did? You got a ticket? When did he get that ticket?
Like a couple years ago, but we had got it fixed, and then I had sent another ticket about some payments. I just, man, feel kind of like it's not right, you know, especially living here. I kind of grew up here as a kid, too, so it made me feel kind of like, dang, it ain't equal around here no more, so.
I just think it's unfair, and there's certain people are getting privileges, special privileges to buy property when they have blight and neglecting people like me and other people for being neglected. Just do the right thing.
Gilchrist has since mowed the front lawn and picked up the moldering mattresses in the backyard. And that's good enough, the land bank said this week. They're going to let him keep the building. But what about the peeling facade and the boarded up windows? Shit.
Fix the damn house.
You got a problem.
Wow.
You got a problem. He keeps that house.
I don't think that's a good look regardless. I don't think an elected official or even a person running for office, I just, even from both sides of it, it just creates a whole nother layer of just issues that I think are better left alone.
Enumerate. So like, what issues?
Well, I mean, if in fact he is the owner of this house, and if there are tenants there, I think that would raise one set of issues. Everybody's going to complain. It, you know, brings up a bad from a PR perspective on that end. But just if they're, everything that he would do as an owner would be under increased scrutiny.
This isn't local TV news, though, Bill. Like, where are you going to get the money?
Listen. We're going to grow our state. We're going to expand our state with growth. And listen, those other states, they're growing faster than Michigan.
Yes.
We had 19 members of Congress once. Now we have, after the next census, we're going to go down to 13. What does that tell you, Charlie? Other states are growing faster than we are. And we need to be a growth state. And if we don't cut taxes, we'll be a smaller, shrinking state. And it's fancy.
So you're saying supply-side economics?
Well, listen, I'm not doing trite phrases. I'm just saying we need to cut taxes, put more money back in the private sector. Gretchen Whitmer, she wants to raise taxes. She wants government-run health care. And how do you do that? Out of your taxes, Charlie, and everybody who's listening.
Well, I'm like, dude, I would just take that tax cut and cut it in half, and it's still a tax cut, and your business are paying. But that's okay.
I want us to keep growing jobs.
I will do anything.
I'm opposed to the pension tax. And,
okay, now listen, this is the most animated I've ever heard you. So it's nice. It's good.
I like it. Listen, I'm a scrappy guy. I find ways to win. I'm a pretty direct guy.
Okay, let me go like this then.
This is a choice between going forward or backwards.
Now, here's the thing, Bill. Here's the third thing.
All right.
People are like, I don't know. Like, I just going to be honest. I'm no bullshit news. People say he's wooden. There's something weird about the guy. He's like too practiced. So I think you've been misserved by that curmudgeonly, crusty old group up there that makes commercials and does your campaign stuff. I want to see if you can laugh, okay? So we've cut you up. There you go. We're going to use that as a drop. Here's one we made where you can...
I'm not very funny, but my wife doesn't think I'm very funny.
Here, we're going to play one that we just threw together like last night. Let me see you laugh.
How much is this going to cost me? Because I pay a lot of money to some of these consultants. You may be, you're telling me you're available? Is that what you're saying?
I tell you what we can do. Like, if you don't win, maybe we can open a shop. Right? You got the connections.
I'm Charlie, I'm going to win.
How much do you spend on that?
Yeah, how much?
I'm not going to get into detail. Oh, but go on.
I'm just wondering because maybe I change jobs because we put this ad together for you.
Okay, we put
take a listen.
Let's hear your ad.
Okay, take a listen.
We got the lakes and we got the sun down in Michigan, Iowa. Come on in, you'll have a whole lot of fun down in Michigan, Iowa.
Wants to be your governor, Michigan.
I'll do anything you want.
He's tough.
This is a Planned Parenthood Democrat hit job on me.
He's tender.
I would be happy to move closer to the land.
He's classy.
Appreciate your spirit of Vincent van Gogh, Rembrandt, Toulouse Lautrec.
Don't believe what he's done as Attorney General. Believe what he says as Candidate Bill. And Bill loves the gays.
There's one system of justice, and it applies to everybody, no matter who you are, whether you're a big shot or no shot at all.
Bill Schuette, a man of principle.
I will do anything you want. Some things I may not let you run the camera on.
Brought to you by the No Bullshit News Hour.
Oh, Charlie, that's... You know, Charlie, that's pretty funny. I got to tell you. Now, my wife doesn't think I'm very funny. And you know what? I think the funnier video is Garland Gilchrist's little shop of horrors over on Marsden Street. But that was pretty funny, Charlie.
Nice segue. See, that's the thing. Listen, Bill. I
give you credit for effort. That was pretty funny.
Thank you very much. See, because
you're welcome.
I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican, but. See, this is the thing. You got to be human. You got to let people know you're human, Bill.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Because now Gilchrist looks like the damn mannequin. See, you're a little warmer now.
Well, listen, I think maybe it's because I work on these legal issues, making sure I put Nassar behind bars. Maybe it's because I want to make sure I take our state forward. But, you know, sometimes I'm not funny, you know. But you know what? I'm working hard. I'm honest. And if you're not a Democrat or a Republican, you tell me maybe I can get your vote. But I'm working on it. I've enjoyed this time today, Charlie.
Thank you very much for being on. And Dana Nessel in this Flint thing. Man, right. That's what,
well, listen,
geez.
You take care.
Okay.
Right?
Talk to you, brother.
Yep, thanks. Okay, bud. Bye-bye.
No Bullshit News Hour.
No Bullshit.
Brought to you by American Coney Island. AmericanConeyIsland.com at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Lafayette Boulevard, downtown Detroit. The first, the original, and the best. Luke Nowacki, personal finance guru, can help you. I didn't bring the sheets. So, Luke, sorry, I'm just winging it. He can help you with estate planning. He can help you with life insurance, college funds, your 401k, all of that. Go to our website. His all of his information is posted there, and
he can help you with any kind of financial situation you find yourself in.
And we hung out at a charity event. What a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's the one that started, why don't we buy lunch for all the police?
Oh.
Handed me a wad of dough.
Well, speaking of which, why don't you announce it?
Well, it's too late, because by time
this
airs. Way to go, Bobby. Way to go.
Yeah.
That's why you're behind the board.
It's called recorded.
Yeah, and Eddie Zaney. Hey, Eddie, Edward Zaney Law Firm in Lansing. That will also be posted. Sorry, guys, we're out of our drinking. At least we got the extra show out. Cheers, Bob.
Happy New Year.
Happy fucking New Year. It'll be a good one, folks. You're alive. All right, roll it, Bob. I got you on air right now. Okay, that's cool.
Okay, go ahead. Sure. She called me at 1:20 and said she can't hop on right now. Are you okay to do this tomorrow? Is that possible?
I thought we had an agreement.
I totally understand, and we totally did. She just let me know that she can't hop on at this moment in time. She's been feeling under the weather, and I think she might not be up for on air right now. I apologize.
Sounds a little shady.
3 weeks to election, that's tough.
Okay, listen, Austin, do me a favor, okay? You're like her spokesman and stuff. What is her position on Flint here?
What was that? On Flint?
Yeah.
So Dana's overall position on Flint is to work to put a satellite office in Flint and to hold those accountable for who caused the crisis.
A satellite office?
Yes.
Well, what about the current investigators now? Is she going to shit can them or what? What's going on with that?
She's going to continue with the current investigation and then hold the rest of us accountable. But, hey, Charlie, I got to go real fast. Is that going to be okay?
All right. Alrighty then.
I'm very sorry, but I gotta call you back. Yep.
Okay.
See ya. That was a big see ya.
Tells me all I need to know. Tells me all I need to know.
All you really need to know is this.
Hey, so, Dana. Hey, Dana.
Choosing Michigan's next attorney general.
Wait, stop that a second, man. Hey, no, I'm not fucking with that. You think it's fucking funny?
I do think it's funny.
No, it's not funny. That's some fucking bullshit.
Oh, that was bullshit.
Okay, well, then don't funny it, bro. Fuck that. Right? You give your word. You're coming on. You're going to explain your position on Flint. The position is... it's political.
She's a bullshit politician.
All right, let me finish it. It's political. We've spent untold millions. We've got some indictments. A RICO case is being put together. She's out in the press saying, I'm going to fire him. We're going to review it. That's like telling fucking Mueller, hold on a minute. That's like Trump telling Mueller, hold on a minute. We can get somebody new in there. And then you're feeling under the fucking weather. Well, I'm going to find you, madam, because you just asked for it. You're going to answer the question. What are you doing with Flint? Nobody, not one reporter, not one debate has held anybody's feet to the fire. They're poisoned. $1 billion. And you can't get out of bed. No, that ain't what it is. What it is the deputy lieutenant governor, the candidate for lieutenant governor. I caught this guy. They present him as the black guy from Detroit who's got social conscience, is a slumlord. He owns a shitty building that he got from Mike Duggan from the fucked up land bank. That is under federal investigation for half price, never fixed it. It's supposed to be repossessed. There's children living next to it. Now it's a big deal today. So Madam Hopeful Attorney General cannot get out of bed. The only thing we care about, the only thing that's of import at this moment out of that office, it's some justice.
I'd like to know can we find out what she did today, her schedule?
She's under the weather.
Yeah, really?
And you know what?
And where was he going?
Like I said, 3 weeks out from an election, you're turning down.
I'm trying. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to call this dude back because I know she got a 2
See
o'clock
you.
with a local radio station.
She tweeted an hour ago.
Oh.
She tweeted. What'd she tweet?
She tweeted an hour ago, today I'm proud to receive the endorsement of Michigan Building Trades as our next attorney general, blah, 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 blah.
Huh.
So she tweeted an hour ago. She was fine to do that.
What radio station is she on?
Didn't you have an event last night?
I know.
Maybe she ate some bad chicken.
What was that last night?
Chicken. Bad chicken.
I don't think he's going to take a call.
Should I call him?
I don't think he's going to take your call.
Yeah, fuck him. I don't play.
It just sounded like a big, see ya.
Oh, of course it was. How about tomorrow? What'd you think tomorrow was going to bring?
This is an American disaster. This is a city of 100,000 people that has been rendered uninhabitable
by the decisions made by
one governor.
Is that right? Is that right? I mean, and where are we at now, Rachel? Where are you at? What do you know?
It's a crime. And we still don't know who's going to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. So what have you found out? Rachel?
Teabagging. And they don't want to teabag alone. They want you to start teabagging, too.
Well, listen, I mean, I would teabag, but I don't want to pull my junk out because I would not be qualified in a public situation.
The legislators know better than the doctors, particularly when it comes to lady parts.
That's exactly right. That's what Dana Nessel's saying. But what about Flint?
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. What about Flint?
Do I have my puppet anywhere?
Fuck. Yeah. Why aren't you reporting on Flint, Rachel?
Are you calling on the governor?
Bob's learning here.
What's that thing? The great impression? The great profession?
All right, cut it, Bob. Just go to, just go to the Tonight Show clip. You know, we talked about that at length last night.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
Why don't you have it?
Can I talk to Rachel?
Yeah.
Rachel.
This is your life now.
I'm glad I amuse her.
Do I have my puppet anywhere?
Okay.
Well, you want to know what the Tonight Show clip said? She said, the job's really hard to, like, tell the Americans what's going on around the country. But since Trump, it's been so easy. And it's like manna from heaven. We just have to do Trump. Nothing else.
But did Flint just get boring? Did that become a boring story?
Is that what we're about?
No, I'm just saying, is that what happened, though?
Man, to me, it's not boring.
I'm with you.
Nothing has changed.
Some things have changed. Like they say, the water's good, right? But nobody's drinking it. And the governor still owes us 25 days of drinking Flint water. Because remember, he's going to drink it. And then he flew off to Germany. Remember?
Did he take any with him?
I don't know where the money is going, but nope. Elon Musk made a commitment to Flint. But, I mean, in terms of replacing the infrastructure, but who's managing the money? That's the question. When people donate things to Flint, where is it going and what's happening?
That's that part. That's the biggest part is, like, is it safe? And nobody trusts it. And no one's ever going to think it's safe. But the other part of it is, who did this? And what consequences are you going to suffer? Right? Where is that?
Ultimately, somebody at the state level allowed them to do it, right? Doesn't there what's the name?
Well, again, we don't know. I want to see it through.
Department of
And when you tell me, like, if it's boring, then the media must make it interesting. It's not boring. Like Joe, his thing, what'd he do? He got kicked out. It was interesting. I'll play it because it revealed so much about the media meeting power. And we want to be part of it. We want to go to the parties with these guys. So many local members of the media went to the chief of police birthday party and toasted him at his private birthday party.
When a cop's telling you we've quit.
Right. Right.
When a cop's telling you we're scared. When a cop's telling you,
we're not going in there.
And I'm trying to get the fuck out of this town. When a guy's on a fire wagon.
That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, holy shit. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. And it was grins from ear to ear.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas, and here's your $100.
I'm sitting here anticipating. Listen, there are people that don't necessarily agree with us. Saying, what's wrong with it, dude? You get it. It's just a little PR. It's a little fun. It's a little Christmas.
I don't care if you gave out only $1,000, so 10 people. How about give that $1,000 to the Police Officers Association or somebody, the cops, who need it? I
don't know why it's left to us.
I just don't. It blew my mind.
Luke Nowacki, Grace Carroll's at American Coney Island, and we, the No Bullshit News Hour,
are buying lunch
for people that wear the badge. They're widows. They're children.
Well, right. In that maybe
because I appreciate you.
The $100, the $1,000 that he gave out could have bought lunch for 70 guys, 100 guys, 100 guys.
I just resent the fact, look.
Oh, my God.
I resent the fact people go to his birthday, media goes to his birthday party, right? I resent the fact that he snaps his fingers and we're going live, and yet nobody's asking, like, what intern Joe would ask.
Where'd that money fucking come from?
Well, you know where that came. It came from a foundation, whatever. He's already got that covered because even dummy understands we're going to ask that.
But goddamn.
How callow.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
it might have been last night, not this morning.
It doesn't matter, Bob.
It was last.
This has been taped.
Right.
But still, look. Here's what I do know. Here's what we've been trying to report. The FBI through the number two, well, the number three, the deputy chief of police in prison for bribery. Okay, that thing goes all the way to the top. We're talking about cops that have pulled guns on undercover cops that they didn't know it, and we have no answer as to what the punishment is. If cops pull guns on cops, what does a regular citizen get? Okay? If You're trying to exercise an arrest on a child killer, and you knock down a door and you killed the wrong guy. Where's the answer on that?
Well, that went away.
Where's the answer when the firefighters are in the middle of a homicide scene calling, and here is his dude? And I challenge you, sir. It was 40 minutes. You go on the news and you say six, and everybody dutifully reports it. That was no bullshit news hour and Deadline Detroit story first. It was, I'll give you the best case scenario, 30 minutes. But you dodged me. I've been doing this business of journalism for 20 years. No mayor, no chief of police dodges. You do. But you know what's coming. We all know what's coming. We've been reporting it. I want to, if you don't know what we're talking about or you're new to the show, I want you to listen to a little bit. I want you to listen to Joe the intern trying to ask the chief very basic questions. I want you to listen to a cop on the street. We changed his voice because he's afraid to lose his job. Nobody gave him $100. We want you to listen to the firefighters in the tape we presented to you. The point here is your tax dollars should go to your safety. Your tax dollars aren't going to your safety, even though you're not given an idea that it is. That's what we want you to take into the new year, and you remember that we on this show are your countrymen, we're your community, sometimes we're your friend. Let's play that, Bob.
It certainly exceeded my expectations. I mean, you talk about a steady decline in crime over 3 years. In the 3 years that I've been here, I give the vast majority of the credit of this team.
So what's going on out here? I mean, we're being told like we should be holding a parade because crime's falling so much. Is it falling?
You're still getting your shootings. You're still getting aggravated assaults. You know, there's not many police officers out here anymore. The wages aren't there. The benefits aren't there. The pension's not there. So they're going to offer some of these suburban cities and they leave. They tend to be less proactive. And that's what you're dealing with now. Less proactive officers, officers that aren't trained properly, officers that do not want to engage with criminals in the fear of getting in trouble, making a mistake, and end up in jail.
Show up, you made a run, but you don't take a report, there's no crime, no one's harmed, it's wearing the shield, live another day, move along.
I agree.
That's kind of an ugly little secret.
Yeah. The numbers are there. You're seeing the crime. You're seeing the complaints.
But I don't see no cruisers out there.
Those days are done.
Say what?
Those days are done. The days of officers being proactive and going out here and being aggressive and putting a bad guy in jail, it's over.
Fuck.
Why should I go out here and get in a foot chase and injure myself and the city's not going to back me? No health insurance when I retire.
If you could go back to the young you, would you do this job again?
If I knew we were going to be where we're at now, no, I would not. Who would have ever thought that you're going to lose your health insurance and your retirement was going to get cut in half and your pensions are going to be where they are now?
Well, look, that's all money, but look, it's fucking buck wild out here, and you don't get a whole lot of respect. Is that true?
That's true.
What's true?
That we don't get respect anymore. And is it because that law enforcement throughout the country is not respected, or is it because they just don't respect BPD officers?
Ever been shot at?
Yes.
What's that like?
Something anybody can never imagine. It's scary. Cause a lot of heartache on you, your family.
I see billionaires getting handouts. I see cops losing ground. And I see widows get stuck with the bill. It's fucking outrageous what it is.
Sad, isn't it? It's unbelievable. What can you do?
Why don't you fucking tell me, man? I'm driving around with you and you tell the world, what can we do?
What can we do? Mayor needs to step up. You're not going to have a big city unless you have a good police department. You're not going to have this wonderful city you're talking about building without having police officers out here. You need to make the officers happy.
Let me move it back to the courts. If the courts are overwhelmed, now, I've rung you up. You've been rung up lately about your attendance record at the courts.
And
why aren't you in court more if the courts are overwhelmed?
I'm doing my job. I do a very good job. My statistics are very high in the productivity that I do.
But your cases are very long. Like, this costs people a lot of money to go to court.
What's it cost people to go to court?
Man, with the lawyer, it's anywhere from $100 to $500.
I am there all
the time. Taking
the time
off of work.
I am there all the time, okay? I'm there all the time.
Well, when I knocked on your door, rah-rah, you weren't there.
No. But I had done my docket.
Yeah, but couldn't you be doing stuff like more on the docket?
Well.
Or reading some case law, boning up on stuff?
Let me tell you something.
Giving tours?
I am a very productive judge. I work a lot. When I did at Bashera, there were over, what, I think the exam transcript was like 3,000 pages. I mean, I read it two or three times. So I'm on top of what I do.
Is that a culture down there? Like, you get what you got to get done, then you get gone?
Well, I really can't speak to what anybody else does. I'm just staying in my own lane and minding my own business, okay? I don't know what them people do, and guess what?
Do they put in 8-hour days?
I don't know what nobody do but me.
Do you put in 8-hour days?
No comment.
That's a no.
That ain't no no. If it's
take
no comment,
it means a no.
That's a damn lie. That's a damn lie.
Is it?
Yeah. No comment mean no comment.
Well, come on, comment. This is no bullshit news. We don't take no comment for it.
Well, that's fake news.
Judge Vonda Evans is not a target in a corruption probe.
Where you get that from?
Teresa
fake
Baldus.
Fake news.
It is fake news. See, the judge admits she
most
is.
Most of the stories, it's false.
Fake news. Fake news.
We are pleased to advise that after conferring and discussing this, Judge Vonda Evans is neither a target nor a suspect in any federal investigation. Evans lawyer Todd Perkins wrote in an email to the Free Press.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so your lawyer said you're not a target.
Okay, so what do you want to make of that?
Did the feds tell you that? Todd's a good lawyer, by the way.
Feds who?
Like, you know, the FBI, U.S. Attorney's Office. Mm. Food and Drug Administration, anybody. Are you sure you're not a target?
Well, baby, let me tell you something. Three things I'm sure of. I'm Naomi and Lauren's mother. I'm a black woman, and one day I'm going to die. That's all I'm sure of. Everything else is up for grabs.
But like Kavanaugh, you deny whatever, in any untoward or illegal business.
What did you say?
Any untoward or illegal business.
Did you slumber in with Judge Kavanaugh?
Wait a minute. What did you say? Wait a minute. What was that word you used?
I don't remember.
Untoward.
Untoward.
Untoward, yeah. Behavior.
What does that mean?
Seemly, not appropriate for your position.
What the hell you know about a big word like that? Oh, damn, Charlie the Duff. They're jumping
they
out of...
They teach rednecks words.
You worked at the New York Times.
Wait a minute. They jump out of trash cans. And everything.
Oh, no. See, another little code word, trash. Did you hear it?
Trash cans.
Did you hear that?
What do you know about a word? Hey, Charlie.
Well, we have jumped out of trash cans.
Did you go to college?
Of course I went to college.
I mean, did you graduate?
I did, yes.
From where?
University of Michigan.
You a lie.
And then
Berkeley. And Berkeley.
University of California, Berkeley.
You a lie. When?
The
story's consistent.
1989 and 1995.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get in?
That's a great question.
Like some minority something.
I have no clue. I think if memory serves me, I earned it.
I don't believe that.
I earned it.
So you what know, you had to hook up?
I worked.
Who did you know there?
Nobody.
You ain't going to no damn UM.
Nobody.
You know you went to OCC. That ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, I'm the only one of five kids that graduated high school on time.
From where?
Livonia Churchill.
Oh, I thought you were saying from your mom and dad.
Yeah, from my mom. Yeah, my mom's five children.
Really?
My brother Frankie graduated later. He actually went back at age 20.
What to high school?
Mm-hmm. He didn't want the GED.
What the hell was he doing in high school? Which is 20 tougher years
to
do.
He wanted to get his. He wanted to get his
no,
diploma.
No, that ain't all he wanted to get. If he going back in there with them little kids,
you're out of
he
order.
He wanted to get some other
well,
stuff.
This is a
okay?
tough judge, man.
God, damn, yeah. Here going 20-year-old running around here with 14-year-olds. That's yeah. that.
I'm glad this is your show, Charlie.
Such respect for women.
I like.
I cherish
that's
women.
That's a prescription for disaster. So what was your brother doing 20 years old having a locker next to a 14-year-old?
He didn't have a locker. He just showed up in the class.
That's a lie. How you know? You
because it's my brother.
Here's I'm gone. It's fake news.
My brother.
You don't know where he
not
was.
Not fake news.
You
and
lie.
I love him.
What, you laugh.
I'm proud of him.
Why was
Frank,
a
20-year-old
wanted to be next to a 14-year-old?
Oh, if my brother was, well, no, come on, man. What are you doing?
Excuse me, why would a 20-year-old return to high school?
So he could get his last credit so he didn't get a piece of shit GED. No offense to anybody that got one. He wanted a diploma.
So he was in class.
He had some fucked up. Yeah, he sat in class.
With
and much humiliation.
14 and 15 years old.
He did, and I'm really proud of that.
Well, why?
Because
well, he was a senior, he sat with 17 year olds.
He
saw bathroom, not 17 year olds.
Because
Judge, you do it every day to youth. To youth, you say, get your act together, get it straight, get your education. Here's a guy that did it, and you're ridiculing him.
Well, I'm saying he's 20 years
calling
old,
him
14
a pedophile?
Years old. I didn't say
he just sat in the class and did his work and got his degree. And he's a college graduate.
Oh, when did he go back to college?
He went at, I think he graduated at age 35.
Oh, well, that's okay, because they're grown up.
So
I'm just concerned about going back to high school when you're 20. That's not cool.
That's totally cool. See,
so now what else? Let's talk about,
well,
let's
we
talk
didn't
about
finish.
Somebody else. Now, look, wait, now I'm interviewing him.
It's not
him.
Cool. He's never showed up on a
you don't know what he
on a
showed
wiretap,
up on.
Tap, okay, and
of a convicted felon.
Maybe a Target.
Okay. Oh, you trying to go there on me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Those are just allegations. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ain't nobody proved nothing. So you better watch yourself. Okay? Because I'm talking about
brother
your brother.
You called my brother a pedophile.
I didn't say that. I said, why was he having a locker space
court
with somebody
record.
That's 14 years old? I didn't say he did nothing. Now, what you saying your brother did and he told you? Because you've been saying that your brother's a pedophile.
What?
You did.
I did. Roll the tape.
You
back,
are
Bob.
Fake
Why would
news.
You even bring that up?
That my brother's a pedophile?
I think you better move on, Charlie.
Okay, we'll go now. Okay, Your Honor. Speaking of, like, you know, police.
I'm never
yeah, we're getting
back
to that point
on this
in the show. We need
damn
to
what? Podcast again.
What?
No, no, Bob.
What happened?
We're not getting in that point in the show. We let the judge go here.
I'm not.
She's you know.
What's the offense? What's the charge?
What? Did I'm not coming
An
back?
Elder of the community.
Because he too crazy. He fake news.
Okay.
You need to be on TMZ making up
along?
Stuff.
Okay, listen.
I don't want to hear no more of this. With this Meyer 30 acre. What is this you got?
This is, we're talking.
Fair sighted and deaf a girl and fatal police shooting. What is that?
Did you know about that last week?
No, I don't read the newspaper. I told
well,
you.
Well, you said I don't read the newspaper. Now you don't read the newspaper. You're out of order, Your Honor.
No, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Why are you giving me?
No,
I don't want
bullshit
nothing.
News.
I don't want that.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Okay, I'm going to ask you something.
Why you got tattoos on you? What is that? Some type of swastika?
No, that's
if
a sun.
If I'm down here
that's a sun.
With somebody with some swastika, I'm getting out of here. What in the hell is that on your
Lord.
Arm?
That's the sun and that's the moon.
Well, why is it made like that? With
because,
them little dots?
Because that's my personality.
It's got sun rays.
So some
Charlie, I've never seen you on the defensive like this before.
I ain't never seen you like this. I hope you're not trying to cross over.
Reading the report of the Engine 34 pulling up on that scene the other night, right? And, you know, the chief of police saying it took 6 minutes, which is a fabrication. Did not take 6 minutes. Did not. No, there's no way you could come up with that. I know how they did. It's not true, right? But the public safety worker does not want to be out there either. When the cruiser pulls up and that whack-a-mole, shady, murky, shadowy character that the fire department's calling over the radio, hey, man, there's a guy of interest here. The police, first unit to show up, did not go in there and put their hands on him, ask him to give a statement. He just evaporated. Arrests since the chief got here are down 30%. This means you're not proactively looking for crime. You want to get home. You don't want to be shot. You shot, you die. Your family doesn't have health insurance.
But Charlie, we talked last week about those who work for the city, not living in the city. Police officers have families, too. And you think about Project 14 that former Mayor Bing tried to initiate in terms of offering some of the available inventory to police officers as an incentive to move back into the city, because we missed that opportunity from the residency component during the Archer administration. They want the best for their family as well. I mean, they have children. They want to go to good quality schools. They want to make it home and make sure that their wives or partners or spouses are safe when they go to the market. I mean, those are the things that they want. So if you wonder why people who work for the city, whether it's an executive or whether it is a first responder, why they don't live in the city, because they can't get the services that they deserve and that residents in the city deserve.
That's cool, because you know what she's saying, Mike, Bob. I mean, police are people.
They are.
They're people. You got to treat them right, or we're not going to treat each other. Hey, Bob, do we got any sound from Mark Diaz? We had him on like the second show,
yeah,
back in like February or early October, talking about what his membership felt. And you know, he's silent on this, and I know why. It's politics and whatnot. But Bob, let's just, from what was that, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Let's throw something random up there, man. Nothing gets solved in 2 months. So let's hear what Diaz said.
I know today, as I sit here before you, I have a fraction of the number of police officers out on patrol that I had 24 years ago when I first became a new police officer. That being, 24 years ago, we were well over 4,000 police officers. And I'm not talking about ranking. I'm not talking about the command officers and the supervisors. I'm talking about the boots on the ground, the guys answering your crisis call for help. Back then, it was 4,000. Today, 1,600. We don't have enough police officers here in Detroit. We need more cops. Plain and simple. You know, we are struggling right now with our numbers that, as I pointed out earlier, they've been decimated from what they were. And at this point, our guys are just, they're breaking their backs to do the job we took an oath to do, which is to serve and protect. By that, our number of runs that we're responding to is such that it's really just keeping us from engaging in that proactive police patrol, which is going out there and engaging in those back in the neighborhoods to prevent crime. So we've gone from a position of being able to prevent to where we're reacting and we're responding. Well, unfortunately, our officers aren't able to engage in that proactive patrol we were talking about earlier.
All right,
and
point
that was
made.
That's a huge consideration when we're talking about not taking those guns off. Like you said before,
point made.
You
see a guy walking around. They don't got cops, right? Mike?
Yes.
We had what? Three patrol cars working the tent where the fire truck was. Before the bankruptcy, we had 6 to 8.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's been confirmed that there are actually three cars working. It might have been two. But nevertheless, you know, Diaz makes a salient point. And same thing that Captain Nevin said this morning. His numbers are way down, and he needs another 300 to 400 bodies, okay, to provide the 300 or 400 more firefighters, another battalion at least, to at least try to put the finger in the dike and stop the fucking, you know, the flood.
Well, of course, you know, union presidents are always going to say we need more. So do we take that with a grain of salt?
No, I think, you're talking about a guy who's been out there for 32 years, okay, who's lost five of his friends, okay, not to mention the other ones who broke their backs or are in wheelchairs now, okay? I mean, I think he knows what he's talking about. I think he knows what he needs. Get the job done.
I think if I'm guessing right, Mike, let me just guess. Let me probe inside that Neanderthalic little skull of yours. You want this thing. You want charges, don't you? You do. You want to force the issue.
Say
it. Bring it, motherfucker.
Nobody wants to see anybody.
Say
have
it.
To run the
Bring
process.
It, motherfucker.
Okay.
Say it. Say it. Bring it, motherfucker.
You know, I'm just telling you the truth, man. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody get charged with a crime, okay? Especially like a situation like this. But if they're going to be that stupid and they're going to do it, then bring it, motherfucker, okay? Because I will break it off in your ass.
Wait. Okay? I want you to say bring it, motherfucker, again, and I'll break it off in your ass so we have soundbite drops for other shows. Go ahead, do it again.
I said, bring it, motherfucker, and we will break it off in your ass.
Okay, I want you to do it again like this, though. Bring it, motherfucker, and then pause. We'll break it off in your ass. Okay, and give me, really, really work this, like, really, really put something into it. Okay.
Like we're at the drinking at the bar.
Do it again. Okay, and 3, 2,
look,
1. Wait.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Wait, I talked over it. Do it again. 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. And I'll break it off in your fucking ass. How about that one?
Wait, I talked over it again. One more time.
God damn it. How many times are you going to make me repeat this shit?
3, 2.
Bring it, motherfucker.
I talked over it again. Oh. Hold on a second.
Okay. Be quiet, Charlie. Okay. Let him talk.
And break it off in your ass. I'm directing, Karen. Okay, and 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker. Now break it off in your ass.
Okay, now I want you to say, I'll break it off in your ass without the and. Cut the and off. But just say, I'll break it off in your ass. And 3, 2, 1.
Bring it, motherfucker.
Cut. Okay, listen.
Redo.
Get a little drink of the cocktail. You had a Christmas party. Take a deep breath. Okay. Think where you're at. You're in the court. Okay, this is method acting.
If I was in the court, I wouldn't be able to say that.
Okay, you're in the court of public opinion. 3, 2, 1, action.
Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
Okay, I like that, but just one more, like, more like, I'll break it off in your ass.
Sure.
Break it off in your ass. Okay.
With some feeling this time, Mike.
It sounded good to me, Mike.
I'm directing here. Okay, you just need to go, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to hear him.
I want to hear this.
Hear him nail it. Okay. Okay, like you're Dirty Harry now. Think about it. Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass. Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
God damn, you nailed it.
You nailed it. Yeah, he nailed it, Mike.
He nailed it, Mike.
Pause for that one. That was good.
All right. But, hey, man.
That's a
hey, wrap.
You coming in to listen. We're collecting experts, so you will be the No Bullshit News Hour legal expert. Would you sign up
Perfect.
For that?
Okay. I'm absolutely, you know it, brother.
Really? Okay, listen, man. I want to thank you.
Okay,
Karen got to go. We got to do some commercials, but remember.
Bring it, motherfucker. I'll break it off in your ass.
Welcome back.
Cut. Don't do welcome back.
Oh, right. We didn't have commercials.
And it's so cliche. Welcome back. God. Let me try it again. We'll just edit that out. Right. And welcome back.
Really? Really? I'm leaving all that in.
Anyway, that shit was funny, dude. I look, you know what I think? Just doing the No Bullshit News is a lark. You know, I'm not trying to be the number one podcast guy. I'm not trying to build some new career. I just, like, want to tell people
what's going on
and what's real.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's a reason I'm taking my break from mass and mainstream media. It's somebody not allowed to do the service of the people, like get to what's real. Fact of the matter is, the politicians are pussies. The politicians get paid, right? They're for hire by big money. I know that.
Politicians' friends get paid?
Because I look at campaign finance reports. That's what I do, right? Citizens United. Money is free speech. Corporations are people.
Corporations are
I'm not
people.
Against business. Without business, I don't have a job. What do I know how to do?
Well, business doesn't have the same free speech. Well, shouldn't have the same free speech rights that I do.
Is that right?
That's how I feel.
So the whole listening audience should take what you're saying.
Oh, of course.
Take this gospel.
Of course, yeah, of course. That's the way it should
because,
be.
Because, see, people no. don't necessarily agree with you.
No, of course not. And look it up.
So what I hope what you're telling them is that's how you feel.
It is how I feel.
And yet, when you do your work, you're not going
to...
You're not going to let that cloud it.
I don't let that
You're not an activist.
No. No. Oh, God.
You're a citizen journalist, not an activist journalist. I hope.
I'm as far from... Well, not as far from activist, but no, I'm not an activist.
You know what? I sitting in my
but
dude, check this out. I was down Michigan Avenue. You know the Boulevard of Broken
oh, yeah.
Bones.
Oh yeah.
Like that one, Boulevard of Broken Bones.
and it was down in the hood, and I come out, you know, my car is pretty noticeable. It's that Fleetwood. And some dude just put this in my windshield. He wrote, "You're the man, Charlie. Keep fighting for us."
Oh, nice.
Isn't that cool?
Nice.
Now, it's a little treacly and self-serving for... But
people appreciate what you do. And people appreciate somebody who speaks for them.
Well, you know, look, the fighting is like getting you the facts. That's really the thing. Getting through the smoke screen, getting through the cocktail parties, right? Getting through your self-aggrandizement. What is the info you need to know? So...
About the things that affect your life.
This thing's going to pick you up. You getting in here like Casey Kasem, like this? It's a long-distance shout-out. Well, that's it.
You know, but I'm about things that affect your life, like public safety.
Like cops.
Like cops, like, where, like fire, where's like
the
EMS.
Where's the money? See, remember. What?
Oh, God, you and I haven't talked about this. Chief Craig, today, giving out $100 bills.
No.
Did you see this?
Fuck no.
You didn't see this?
Giving out $100 bills to whom?
He was walking around downtown. So people who are either millennials or whatever, they're working downtown, they get a job downtown, they're not out in the neighborhoods, they're working downtown or in Midtown or whatever, and he's going around giving out $100 bills.
The fuck is the meaning
people,
of that?
Like pulling over people, right? You know how they give out the, "Hey, you did a good job today" ticket, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a "Here, you did a good job today" ticket. It was a $100 bill. Are you fucking kidding me?
Which begs the lame question.
Why don't you give them out to your fucking cops? Are you fucking kidding me?
Which begs the lame question.
I can't
who paid
you
for
didn't
it?
See that.
I don't look at any of it
anymore.
Look
into that.
That's fucked up.
Oh, dude, it was.
Get to work, you clown.
And it was one of those television, local TV moments where you could have on 2, 4, and 7. And switch between them or whatever, and they all had the same thing because he did it live, and he had all the media, in tow.
So,
hey, citizen, here's $100 from the Detroit Police Department.
So Slippin' Jimmy snaps his fingers, demands live shots to hand out $100 bills.
Yeah,
right
for Christmas.
And everybody paid. Get the fuck out of here!
I swear to fucking God. So you're redoing the commercial.
I'm redoing the commercial. Because I'm gonna be responsible.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, we'd like other people. Other people to maybe
advertise.
Right. And if you want to, just hit me up.
And you know what? And Luke got two hits.
Huh?
He got two hits on this show.
Oh, he gets two hits.
Right, because we're not taking the other one out.
Because he's appreciated.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Then that's why, you know, some of us are secure with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations. Because you know, Bob, do you know historically when the Dow goes down? What's the worst month, performing month for the Dow?
December.
No.
What?
January.
It's January.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so listen. Whether it be pension planning, life insurance, college savings plans, or tax-deferred investments, Luke Nowacki can help answer all your questions and help plan for your future finances. Call Luke today at 243-663-4748, 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. Tell him LaDuff told you to call. Hopefully he'll do a little something. You know,
take care of you.
A little something, something. And it's important to remember that securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. And we're going to work on this.
Right.
But we got to get it clear to corporate. Luke wrote a great one. It's funny as hell.
Oh, good.
About, like, you know, your politicians driving around in navigators, but you don't have a navigator. It was great, but...
How do you navigate your way to a navigator?
I'm just busy. It's a holiday season,
sure.
So I didn't, you know, really...
Do a stick with that.
Really get it cleared yet. And very good friend of the show, Zaney Law Offices in Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights litigation, and personal... injury, you want to get Eddie Zaney, you call 517-292-7000. Make an appointment. Tell them LaDuff sent you.
Need a good lawyer? Call Zaney.
517-292-7000. And remember, when things get zany... you call Ed Zaney.
You call Zaney.
Zaney Law. Or something like that. That's what he wrote. Or something like that.
Or something
he wrote
like that
himself.
He put in it or something like that?
He's that good. This
right.
guy's a fucking poet.
Yeah.
And his brother's was Sam.
Right.
Former
great
head
guy.
Of the... Well, great family. Former yeah. head of the paramedics
union.
Great family.
Yeah.
Mom's cool.
Still working as an EM tech.
Yeah, he's...
up in Flint.
He's up in Flint, man. We're going to have him do a piece sometime.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, right? Our man on the street in Flint, because, hey, Flint...
Maybe we go up to Flint, too. He'll do something, and we'll do something, too.
You know, in the new year, man, we're really going to do special stuff.
We're going to do no bullshit.
We are, and we're going to...
Sick of this shit.
We're going to get more national people on, but see, we're not going to do national news because it's national news, right? Everybody does that. Aren't you tired of listening to people talk? You out there.
The bullshit, you mean?
Well, everybody's got the bullshit. Everybody's got a point of view.
Yeah.
We might as well have... there's right outside, there's that truck that just bananaed.
Yeah.
We can have that guy on talking about Trump.
Yeah.
Right? What we try to do is somebody associated with us. Somebody that we know, somebody that
close
we trust. Right? Alan Foyer from the New York Times, covering Cohen.
Great.
Right? Tucker Carlson, Maggie Haberman, New York Times. We will branch out. We're just getting our feet, and we really do appreciate you hanging with us. Here, cheers.
Cheers, my
God,
man.
They pour him.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. Which brings us to our final segment. Joe, the 58-year-old intern, went to Specs Howard.
Heart of gold.
Heart of gold and crusty underpants. But, you know, Joe is a human. Joe wants to make it.
Yeah.
Joe.
And Joe's going to work hard for it.
And you hear what's on now?
He works hard for the money.
But you better treat her right. Okay.
It's all right.
So here's Joe. Joe's willing to do anything. Joe's willing. If you're hiring, I do recommend Joe. I don't want to lose him. But part of the scheme here is to get... Hey, what's up, brother? Happy New Year, man. What's up, man? Happy New Year. Part of the scheme here is to get Joe a job. I recommend him. You got to keep an eye on him. But he works hard.
Gets the job done.
He's a gamer.
He gets the job done.
And this fucker will lay on cold cement and play dead. He will. Who'll do that in her fancy suit?
Let's hear him.
Okay, let's roll Joe. Here's my protege, Joe the intern.
No bullshit!
We're at Eastern Market, down here by Shed 2. Fox 2 is got two guys over here setting up for Sunday morning Lions tailgate show. Chief Craig is supposed to be here. We got a few pointed questions for him, and hopefully I can get at least one of them squoze off before I get thrown out.
This is a private event right here. Yeah.
Right. But I'm with the news media.
It's a private event, though.
Right. But I'm with the news media.
Fox 2 doesn't want you over here. It's Fox 2 who doesn't want you over here.
I'm on public property. It's a public sidewalk in the city of Detroit. I don't understand. You're telling me I got to leave Eastern Market? I mean, you got these other civilians right over here, and you're not trying
to talk to my manager, okay? Thank you.
Talent has just arrived. Nowhere near ready for the show to go on the air, and that these security people are over here trying to push me out of the zone.
No bullshit!
Tell me I'm edging too close, and he's gonna have to call the cops. Oh, wait, there's a dog over there on set, too. There's a sign right here that says, no dogs under the shed. But they got one. And I just seen a dog right over there walking around the middle of the set like he lives here and shit. Oh, there's Chief Craig. Why the fuck over there? Time to get thrown out.
Don't get arrested. What's gonna happen? You're gonna get arrested, man. You're not supposed to be in this area, man. They designate you to be on the outskirts of that street, across the street, not
right.
The river.
You got a job to do, I got a job to do. Hey, Chief Craig! Hey, Chief Craig! Hey! You remember hanging out with Casper Fiore and Sinbad?
Go,
on, man.
You
step
back. Hey, you think one of these indictments might be coming down for you?
You got to step back,
man. You think one of these indictments might be coming down for you, Chief?
You step back, man. You step back on Russell Street, my man.
Yo, step on Russell, baby. Come on, come on.
Get on Russell Street, man.
Come on, step on Russell, man. I see you. Step on Russell. And I respect your game, but you got to step on Russell. I respect your game.
All right.
You're cold-blooded with it, too. Cold motherfucking blooded, man. You can't do it right here, though, baby.
Woo! Uh-oh, the guy flagged over a cop. He's going to try to have you arrested now. Wow. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Real good, real good. Just trying to get a couple questions with your boss over
here.
Yeah,
he don't want to talk.
Yeah, I know. That's why I got to shout the questions from across the street.
So his security wants you across the street. He's at work, so let him do his
work. He's not at work. He's over here just philandering with the
you're
people.
You're probably right.
Having breakfast and cooking shows. That's not his job. His job is to be finding that baby killer. They killed an innocent man while looking for a baby killer, but did they ever find the baby killer? Right? Don't people deserve an answer to questions like that?
Damn right. Joe. Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job, son.
Yeah, that guy gives me props. Like, he said,
where's
he
at? Special
game, and y'all told with it. I'm like, yeah, that made my day. But Mike Nevin, good afternoon to you, man.
Big Joe, what's happening?
Godspeed.
I love you, buddy.
You are the one that's doing God's work out here. Don't let nobody tell you different.
I'm not afraid, Joe. You know me. We go way back.
Well,
how you like Joe's new career? He's doing pretty good, isn't he?
I think he's doing great. I'm proud of him.
He did a real good job.
That was tough, guys.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it was.
You're not getting pushed around.
Nope.
Joe, I'm going to tell you something, man. We've been, you know, playing around back and forth on the show here. And, you know, I respect you, dude. And here's the thing. You're the everyman. You are a Detroiter. You live on the Southwest Side. You have to put up with this. You're a citizen who wants some answers. Those are great questions. Yep. Terrific questions. And that's how the everyman, the citizen who wants to talk to his leadership, is treated. As part of Joe's education, I'm educating Joe. Journalism comes in sort of all forms, expository, the feature story. There's also participatory. I'm known to participate in stories. I've crossed the border with Mexican migrants. I've worked in a slaughterhouse. I live blind in New York. Hey, Bob, I can't hear myself. I live blind in New York for a year, for a week. And so I'm trying to teach Joe how to be participatory to sort of, this is almost like a candid camera or a what would you do? So if we are the most violent, does that mean we have a hard heart? So I sent Joe out to play dead to see if anybody would react to him while I was sitting in a car. And this is what we came up with. And we're going to play it and then get back to Joe's here.
No bullshit news.
Joe, just lay there and look dead. Just lay there and look dead, all right? The outside is slow, so you should get some help here.
Help here?
Just go over there and look dead.
Okay.
Don't blink.
Okay, so I'm laying here looking dead. I don't look dead. What does a dead guy look like? I don't think I'm laying right. How long am I supposed to lay here?
Joe, you don't look dead if you're moving.
Trying to be in the right position, man.
You don't look dead if you're moving and talking so loud.
Should I be like face down or what?
Here come some people. A couple of hipsters. They didn't even look. They're not even looking, Joe. Groan a little bit.
Oh, God. Oh, they fucked me up. Oh, man.
They're taking matches right over his corpse.
Oh.
Here come some more people. Some nice white ladies, premium coffee in their hand. Give them a look, give them a look. Oh, it's nice. How beautiful. She can't get them with her foot.
Oh, no. Hurt.
Excellent.
Yeah. No.
Nice. You're saying you need an ambulance.
You know this guy?
Sit up. Get some breathers.
You guys know each other?
Okay. You'll be all right.
Thank you,
guys.
I saw him
laying face down.
He
worried me.
You all right? Oh, man. Hey, thank you for caring.
Hey, Joe, come here.
So what?
Okay, maybe you're overdoing that just a bit. When someone asks you for help, they want it, right?
Right.
You go, no, I'm
doing... call you an ambulance? I said, no, don't.
No, I said, I'm doing an experiment. Does anybody care?
No, okay.
Sit there and keep going,
That's because I forgot to ask you. What should I tell people?
Oh, God.
And they ask, what's going on?
I mean, Joe, what are you going to do? Sit there and make them shit their pants? Okay, now we're in front of the police headquarters.
Right.
You lay there, and somebody comes up, don't carry on being dead. Say you're doing an experiment to see if anybody cares.
Right.
That's it.
How long it takes for somebody to actually
give a shit. Got some good attention right away. Joe, what the fuck, dude? Did you not get it?
I'm going to have to guess and say that I don't think it.
Check now, Joe. I don't know how much I can impress upon you. Radio needs sound. So if you're not recording, it's no good.
I hit the ground too hard and shook the CD card.
So you did a pratfall out there and broke the equipment? What are you doing? Joe.
We didn't get the police one.
It doesn't... Oh, my God, dude. Get over there at the bus stop and go lay dead. Press record, please.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Oh, man.
Well, there's Joe laying in between the book Cadillac and the bus depot. Middle of the sidewalk. You don't know what he's doing. But he really does look homeless. And those are his regular clothes.
You
want an ambulance?
No, I don't need no ambulance. No. We're just doing a bit. We're just doing a bit to see if people care. Apparently, y'all care. That's a good thing.
What's going on, Joe?
I didn't even get on the ground good, and people were coming to see if I was okay.
Yeah, just say you're okay and get on the ground and let it warm up. Like, yeah, I'm okay. Right?
Yeah. Go back there and do it again?
Just lay on the ground, tell them you're okay. Joe can't even hit the ground and people care about him. Detroit is a nice town. I know it's the second most violent city in America, but people are damn sweet.
I'm still recording. Man, where'd that shit come from? Oh, somebody threw a water bottle.
I think somebody threw a bottle at Joe because he was not needing any help.
You got a mic on you, man?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a bit to see if...
Get up, man.
Oh, now they freaking out because I got a microphone.
What type of show y'all doing?
We're doing a bit just to see... You know, it's about public safety, really, and how people in Detroit react to see different things with somebody coming to help. Like one of them.
Did we do what a good would job? You do help you?
Right, you did. Except whoever threw the water bottle.
We ain't got a microphone.
No. We just wanted to see what was.
Who is talking to you? You got to go. I'm not. Right there, cross the street. Don't play with me.
Charlie McDuff.
That's Charlie?
Yeah.
We thought you was for real. I thought you was having a heart attack.
Yeah, I thought you was out there.
I was hammering it up.
I told the little bitch to call the ambulance. He said he was all
right. Right.
No bullshit news.
Good old Joe. He works hard for the money, honey.
He does work hard for the money.
And we do treat him right. Look, he's the chief deputy intern. We got him a barbecue raccoon for Christmas dinner, some new socks, some new underpants, a hot water heater. He's one of ours.
So Joe's doing.
Here's to you, Joe. Happy New Year, dude. I wish you all the success and all you out there, Bobby.
Cheers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hey, can you take us out with Gloria Gaynor?
We can.
It's hard for the money.
Enjoy it, folks.
Happy New Year. And remember, try to love one another. Oh, yeah, one more thing. The No Bullshit News Hour consists of Bob Schettelbauer on the keyboards, Karen Dumas as the Motor City hit woman, Matt Phillips is the sound man, Joe the intern is Joe the intern,
Jason C. is our tech guru. I'm Charlie LaDuff. We're part of the Drew and Mike Network, Red Shovel Studios. If you want to subscribe, just go to any of the stuff and just put in LaDuff, No Bullshit News Hour, NoBSNewsHour.com. Give us a like someplace, somewhere. You can always find us on Facebook. And remember, a man without money is a man without food.
And that'll end the show.
No, this will end the show. One more thing. Man without money is a man without food, but a man without love is loveless. Uh-oh, it's my wife.
Got a phone call.
Good night, everybody.
Happy New Year.